Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back, Ram fans. This is Rams Up, your favorite LA Rams podcast. We are proud members of the Fans First Sports Network. That's fansfirstsports.com. You can also follow us on YouTube. Our channel is at LA Rams Up. I'm your host, Mark. You'll hear from my co-host, Tom, on occasion as well. Hey, we're not Rams insiders. We're just longtime fans who love talking about our Los Angeles Rams. Let's get to it. Hey, everybody, Mark from Rams Up here, and we have just one guest today, Ian Martinez. How's it going, Ian?
Doing good, Mark. I mean, lots happened this last couple of days in the world of football in Rams land, so
yeah,
I'm excited to talk about it. I mean, shoot.
Yeah, it was a little slow there, and then all of a sudden, bang, a bunch of stuff happened. And, you know, just so everyone knows, the plan here today, Paul was going to join us for his second edition of his Puka Power Picks in the draft, and he may still join us. And if he does, we'll flex and talk a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about some other things. The big one, the signing of the cornerback Trey White from Buffalo. Yeah. How are you feeling about that one, Ian?
Gosh, you know, look it. He is once upon a time an all-pro corner who has been all-world. But dang, Mark, dang, dude. A torn ACL and then a torn Achilles in back-to-back seasons? Oh, man. I don't know, man. I don't know how I feel about it. Look it. He's 29. He's not over the 30 hill yet. And I just think for us to give him $8.5 million, with, you know, a max of 10, that's what that one-year contract says. A lot of cash, man, for somebody we don't know is going to be back to full strength. Truthfully, I was cool with it. What we talked about in previous roundtables about how maybe in that five vet minimum, you know, vet minimum to $5 million range, I would have been okay with. But, you know, we're 8.5 to 10, you know, hey, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it at the moment. That is the pessimistic side of it, right, my friend? Right? That's like, oh, God, you know, back-to-back serious injuries. But I think the good thing is, which is probably why the Rams felt so good about it, because our team doctor, Neil Elitrosh, who does all the big ligament repair surgeries, done them all for our people, did them all for all athletes around, you know, in America. Rogers' his Achilles, Cousins and his Achilles. He just redid Tre'Davious White Achilles. He has done, I think, some Yankees players. I'm just blanking on their names right now in the recent year or so. Tons of guys. Okay. Our team doctor is that dude. So I think maybe his okay giving it to the Rams probably made them feel a little bit better about the signing. But hey, I hope things work out, because back to back season ending injuries like that.
Yeah. I guess the fact that it's a 1 year contract makes me feel a little bit better about it. I mean, the initial reaction I had is, you know, we landed an all pro, you know, a Pro Bowl cornerback, at least at one time. And, but yeah, you know, I'm always an optimist when it comes to this stuff. And I hope you stay.
I sounded negative, but it was just, I mean, shoot, Mark, back-to-back seasons.
But if he's healthy, you know, White and Williams, and then you got Quentin Lake and Cameron Curl and the two young cornerbacks, we could have a pretty good secondary.
No, I think and now let's go to the other side of the coin. Let me turn it over to the head side. No more tails. I mean, shoot, my friend. If things do work out and we get him playing at maybe not even an all-pro level, which would be the goal, but we get him playing at a Pro Bowl level, what a steal that would be for $10 million, right? And that $10 million is up to $10 million with a couple million incentives from him to push from 8.5 to that $10 million. So if that ends up happening, then woohoo, right? I mean, shoot. But I think if, like I said, if we can get him back to playing Pro Bowl level football, right, when he was that shutdown guy, when he could run with people man-to-man, when he was great in zone. And I don't think we're going to ask him to be running around chasing the number one guys. I don't think Chris Shula, our new D coordinator, is going to have him doing that. Hopefully, right? The dude coming off a knee and an Achilles surgery back-to-back years. And I think if he can play good in zone, which he should be able to, he was awesome at man and zone when in his top-tier days, then I think we'll have something good. And that is the hope. But as of right now, we got to see him run. We got to see him run. And hopefully, let's just be honest. When you pop a ligament, and no matter where you are, the chances of you popping it in the other leg increase tenfold. He's already popped an ACL and an Achilles. Well, how's that other leg going to hold up? What happened to Cam Akers once he got sent to the Vikings? He popped his other Achilles, and that's the worry. Again, it's only a one-year deal, but dang, hopefully things end up being okay for him. But oof.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. You know, as I have been mentioning for several days now, in my mind, and I think Rams Nation probably agrees with this, maybe not in this exact order, but the priorities in the draft, defensive tackle, edge, cornerback, and I think a lot of people still want a wide receiver because there are so many really attractive wide receivers late in the second, early in the first. Does this signing change your pecking order or the priorities in the draft for the LA Rams? Has to a little bit, right?
I mean, look, as of right now on paper, if everyone's healthy and there's no physical issues, then we have our starting corners right on the outside. Now it'll be the battle for whether Quinn Lake continues to evolve in the slot, right, which I thought he played his best football. You know, where does Cameron Curl fit in? Box, up top, wherever, because Sean McVay, not promised him, but they had discussions, right, about he was going to play a lot of different spots. Cool. So I think because of the short window we have with Darius and with obviously Trey White being only 1 year, and Cam Curl being a 2 year deal, realistically, I know it says three, same thing with Darius, but it's really a 2 year deal if things, you know, go haywire bad. I mean, I don't see why corner would be off the table. And again, this is my philosophy. And when we get closer to the draft and we start diving in a little bit heavier, I mean, shoot, Mark, we need the best player available. I think that's just how it has to be on defense.
And you're falling in love with Quinyon Mitchell, aren't you?
I do like that. I do like him, man. I do like him a ton. I think he has the shiftiness, the speed, and I think just the man-to-man prowess, if that makes sense, to be able to play and run with people in the NFL on a consistent basis. Because, look, not every corner can play man-to-man. It's a tough world to live in, man. Yeah. And if you're as talented as Jalen Ramsey, you're bored, which is crazy, right? I mean, those are special players. Him talking to Raheem Morris, how bored he was. It's just crazy to think that that was a thing. But I like him. I do like – I'm blanking on names right now.
Arnold, perhaps?
Yep. He's good as well. I mean, I got to look into more of these guys. But definitely the Toledo corner, I think he's the best. And more than likely not, he ain't going to be around at 19. But I've said in the past, we've talked about it, I don't think we're going to stay at 19 anyway. I think we're either trading up or we're trading back. And either way that happens to unfold on draft night, that first round, I'm cool with it. As long as we make a move to either acquire more picks or there's somebody we really like to make a difference, go get him. Because we need it on defense badly.
Right.
Right. And I think that's going to be the move. So, like I said, will he be around at 19? I don't think so. But I don't see the Rams or Les Snead or and Coach McVay and Shula not being aggressive and getting somebody they want, whether it's corner, whether it's edge, D tackle, whoever it is on defense. But
I think it just gives them the ability to, you know, not be boxed into a corner as far as drafting a particular position. I think they may take Quinyon Mitchell or make a move to get Mitchell or someone like Terrion Arnold. But I think if with the group they have right now, if they wait it to the second or third round, that might be a healthy move as well.
I do like Nate Wiggins too. I couldn't think of his name, Mark. Apologies. The Clemson corner.
Yeah, he's. I think those are probably the top three. Cooper DeJean, I've seen him listed as some people think of him as a safety, slash cornerback. Oh, yeah. Kool-Aid McKinstry. I just love, you know, hey, who doesn't want a guy named Kool-Aid on their team, right?
Well, I mean, look at, man, the Bama corners always end up, you know, performing well. Let's just be honest. Think about, come on, everybody listening. Think about everyone you can think of the last 10 years, right? More likely than not, Alabama defensive players have worked out pretty dang good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that wouldn't be such a bad thing in the second round in a trade back either. But I definitely think Mitchell, Toledo corner, I think he's that dude. So just because we have Darius, just because we have Trey White, and we don't even know if Trey White's going to work out or not. Jesus, that's the whole point. I don't think that's off the table, long story short.
And these guys aren't going to play in the preseason, right?
No, I mean, we started that trend, right? Coach McVay back in 2017, everyone was like, what is happening? What is he doing?
Yeah.
Now everyone's copied us and hey.
Yeah. I'll never forget that. I think it was the last preseason game last year. Was it 40-0 to the Broncos? And everybody was freaking out. And they come back and they beat Seattle in the opener. Hey, I know we're going to talk about some rule changes. I wanted to talk about more player stuff, though.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I saw the comment by Les Snead about Ernest Jones.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And then I saw, I don't know if you saw Ernest Jones' Twitter post with the sunglasses, and I'm trying to understand what's going on here, and it doesn't give me a warm fuzzy about how Ernest Jones. Am I reading it wrong? I feel that way too,
my friend. And look at it. Les Snead, according to Jordan Rodriguez at The Athletic, who does a lot of the dirty work reporting, getting to the nitty gritty, I should say, getting to the details and what's actually happening. No rumors. It's all facts most of the time, or I'd say 99% of the time. And she said, after talking to Les, that, you know, they are having open dialogue with Ernest Jones about a possible contract, you know, scenario, extension, whatever you want to call it, entering the fourth year. Now, is that, you know, top five money that I'm sure Ernest would love to have? It's probably not. We don't pay. We paid Bobby Wagner, and we bailed off that when he was an all-pro, right? You know, London Fletcher is probably the last legit, oh my God, linebacker we've had. We've had good ones. It's not, Lauren Ias was good, and we can go down the list. Please forgive me here. But you know what I mean? You know what I mean? And I just think, hey, man, I just think the way our cap is constructed, Ernest Jones is on a cheap deal playing at a Pro Bowl level. I just think that's just the way it's going to be. And then to the point of, his, you know, little glasses emoji. Of course, he's like, oh, I see. You don't want to give me my cash. I'll show you. And he's been an awesome linebacker. And, you know, hopefully there's no bad blood. I mean, look, all our players, for the most part, since McVay's been our leader, players have had good relationships with our front office and the coaching staff. You know, this is obviously the Cam thing was kind of low. Obviously, things last year ended crappy. Jared Goff's departure was crappy. But most times than not, things are talked about really well. And I think Sean, even from the 2022 disaster of him, you know, all that mess, he was going to figure out how to be a better leader. And he talked about that. And I think they've communicated with Ernest. I think they know where they stand with him, where he stands with them. Let's just go play football. And I would love to have you back, Ernest, please. I want you back. So
yeah, and you know, Aaron Donald was pumping up Ernest Jones out the door too, and yeah, he's such a great linebacker, underappreciated. Another one of those underappreciated players, because you know what happens in the NFL, you get guys like Fred Warner and Bobby Wagner that make a name for themselves right out of the gate, and they're locked in as Pro Bowlers forever. And a guy like Ernest Jones is just kind of hanging there, you know. Probably, I'm not going to say he's as good as those guys, but he's not far behind talent-wise, in my opinion. So, hey, another thing. What's your take on Stetson Bennett?
Yeah, well, hey, man. We love this time of year, right? League meetings, a lot of talk, a lot of chatter, a lot of other stuff we'll talk about, too. And along with the comments about Ernest, you know, Stetson was brought up, right? What is the plan with him? There's a lot of workout videos. We talked about it last pod all together about him working out, him overcoming his personal issues, whatever that may be. And they said they're going to, you know, re-implement him back into the off-season program. And that's really it. He's going to be back. And, you know, we see a lot of videos. He's throwing. He's running around. He looks in shape. You know, at least in a workout video, right? I mean,
right.
I mean, how far can you go? But hey, man, football is not over for him, and that's good. Good for him. Good for the human. And hopefully, it's better than what we saw last time. Because man, that was bad. You know, and obviously there was things going on, but he's going to be back, everybody, and he'll be our third stringer. Whether he earns the roster spot or not, that's going to be up to his performance, right, in practice and in preseason, and we'll see. But what do you feel about Mark? I mean, shoot.
Well, and like I said, when I was talking to Paul the other day, right now, our backup prior to this, if Stetson isn't there for us right now, our backup quarterback the first 2 weeks is Dresser Wynn. And hey, no knock on Dresser Wynn.
Garoppolo suspension, that dummy. Forgot about that.
But maybe, you know, maybe Dresser Wynn's the guy. I don't want to, you know, slander him or anything. I've never seen the guy play. I don't think he played last year in spring training and exhibition season. Maybe he did. But regardless, you know, Stetson Bennett as a backup the first 2 weeks, I'd feel a little bit better. We need somebody, right? Okay, so.
Yeah, we do, man.
Cool. Yeah. You had a comment here, and, you know, like I told you earlier, I was off the grid all day. What did Snead say about Jimmy G?
Yeah, so in this soliloquy of talking to Jordan and all our other reporters, I mean, the long story short, it was just why they did not choose Carson Wentz. It was more that Garoppolo fit the scheme better. Just kind of how we maybe guesstimated that was the case last pod. Well, Les Snead said it. He said, we liked what Wentz brought, yada, yada, yada. But Jimmy fit the scheme that we run better. And it was just that simple. And like we talked about, I'm sure Paul's, you know, he's going to, you know, be more irritated whenever he joins.
Yeah, we know how Paul feels about Jimmy G.
And, man. And look, we talked about it last time as well. I get it from that tunnel view, right? He's played in this West Coast modern system, the Mike Shanahan tree of offense, right? Obviously, ours is veered away from Kyle's, also, but it's different than Mike McDaniel's and also different than Mike LaFleur's from the Packers. Oh, Matt LaFleur, excuse me. But at the root of it, right, just like any job, anybody out there, when you're in a trade and there are the basics to your trade, whatever that may be, sheet metal, electricity, plumbing, we can go down the list. You know the basics. Jimmy knows the basics of this offense. And now would it be learning the nuances of how Sean wants to do it? That is why they chose him, which is what we thought. But I didn't think Les would just flat out say it that soon, yeah. You know. And that's just the way it is. And that's going to be our backup quarterback. For a backup, okay. But damn it, if he has to play, he better play good or I'm going to be pissed. Yeah.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Straight up.
Do you think there's any added value to the fact that he knows the 49er offense pretty well, you'd think?
Well, you know what? I mean, there has to be some of that. I mean, it seems like the NFC West always bounces around each other's quarterbacks. Think about it. We cut Brett Rippon and he immediately goes to Seattle, right? You know, right. Every all that always happens. It seems like these Shanahan quarterbacks that are under the system, they bounce around, they get opportunities and they pick each other's brains. And I think there will be some benefit to it. But on the flip side of that too, I mean, we already were doing a lot of 49er-esque stuff with Mike LaFleur, you know, being our coordinator. I mean, all the gap scheme stuff, that was not a McVay thing forever. That is definitely a Kyle Shanahan trait that, you know, Mike inherited and that brought over here with us, which, thank God, so much better. Yeah. Hey.
You know, I was going to say, you're talking about these NFC West guys bouncing around. Very low-key, low-level. I don't know if you caught this. I just stumbled across it. I don't know how. But Ernest Brown IV has signed with the 49ers. That was like a month ago.
Oh, did he too? It's just crazy, dude. Everyone, we just all just share each other's sloppy seconds, don't we, Mark, for all these NFC West teams. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, shoot. I mean, who else?
They had Samson. Well, like
O'Connell's taking all the Vikings, you know. I mean, get it. He's an ex-Ram, obviously, but he's taking a lot of Rams, guys. It's going down.
Okay, so what do we got left here?
Real quick, Mark, ahead. Speaking of Les Snead's comment, just popped in my brain, too, that a lot of people were wondering also about, hey, what is going to happen with Stafford's contract? What about Cooper's? Are they going to restructure? Les Snead said they're going to keep him. They're going to keep him at those numbers. There will be no restructure happening unless, obviously, something drastic happens. But that is not in the plans for 2024. Now, those numbers are pretty solid, honestly. They're not anything small, most definitely not. And look it. I know everyone wants everyone to restructure and do a bunch of stuff, but Matthew Stafford's is $49 million, okay, right now. Cooper Kupp is pushing 30. It's 29.7. So they're not going to change. They're going to stay that way. And I think it's more for the future, right? It's like, hey, do we keep incurring, you know, that credit card number where future seasons the cap's going to be even more ridiculous? They're being smart about it. Because let's be honest, Matthew Stafford's cap number in 2025 is going to be $50 million again, right? And Cooper Kupp's will also be another $29 million. So we've pushed the can down the road enough. I mean, are we going to continue to keep doing it? And it's just going to get more inflated and inflated and inflated. Then we're going to have to pull a Ramsey and a Floyd and a Wagner and bail on those guys. So they're going to stay at that number. Again, if we're in a great championship run, winning a ton of games, we're playing good football, and we want to add some more people like a Vaughn to really get us to that final round, then I can see those things happening. But
yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, the Rams tried to approach Stafford about restructuring last year, and he turned him down. That's what I heard, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, who like, and this is the problem too. Real quick, now that we're on the subject, I'll be quick about it. People get restructure and retool kind of confused or
extended or
no. So like, okay, a restructure. A restructure is when you have your contract and you restructure the format of it so the money gets sent in bigger lumps or not so big lumps, but you're still getting all the same cash at the end of the day. reworking your deal, I can't think of the word now, I just thought of it, is you're redoing it, basically. That's just a nicer way of saying you're redoing the contract. It's a new deal. That is what Khalil Mack did to stay with the Chargers. That is what Joey Bosa did. They took pay cuts. They reworked their deal. It's just you know, agents don't want to say, hey, my player took a pay cut, right? From my understanding, I think they probably asked Stafford to rework his deal slightly, whether it was a big amount or not. And he was like, no, because if it's a restructure, there should be no problem ever, honestly, for any player. Let's just be real. Because their bottom line, their cash flow is not going to get affected. They're actually getting more money at once than the game checks they would normally during the season. So for him to say no, that tells me they asked him to take a pay cut of some sort. And he said no. And I don't think you should anyway.
Yeah, at this point, I think it makes sense to let those two, Kupp and Stafford, just play out their contracts. And as sad as it is, you know, that may be, I think Stafford could very well be done by then, and Cooper Kupp as well, to be honest.
No, how many times have we talked about it, dude? Just the 2-3 year window, whatever Stafford's contract link will be. And if he still wants to play and he's still playing great, then let's keep this train going. Right. But that's the window we're in with, hence Jonah's contract, Cameron Curl's contract, 1 year deal for Trey, 2 year deal, Colby Parkinson. It's a 2-year, 3-year deal, you know? So it's all in this little Stafford window of how many, you know, of how can we accomplish it? So, anyway, just wanted to share that real quick. Sorry, Mark.
No, that's good. That's good stuff. I have no problem talking this through. So let's get to some rule changes.
Yes.
The first one is the kickoff rule. And we talked about it a few weeks ago that it might be happening. It's quite a departure. Yeah, it's quite a departure. It's a 1 year trial, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I didn't really have a problem with the old rule, or the way the current, you know, the way it was done in last season, because I just dread kickoff returns. I dread kicking off, and I dread returns by my team, because I always think something bad's going to happen.
Well, I was going to say, my friend, Mark. I mean, we've had the worst special teams unit. Of course, things are going to go haywire on us. Of course.
Right.
I'm just like,
how do you feel about the change, though?
Well, look it. The rule that it's been the last couple years, no one was returning kicks. It benefited us because our unit sucked, right? I mean, so we didn't have an issue with it. But for the entire flow of the game, I think in the Super Bowl, I heard somebody talk about this on the radio, that no one returned a kick in the Super Bowl this last year. That's pretty crazy, because the rules are more in favor of you just fair catching it and getting a better spot.
Right.
You know, which is, I get it. You're playing into what benefits your offense more, right? Of course. But for entertainment, for enjoyment of the sport, for, you know, excitement, it was crappy.
Yeah.
We all know it was, right? And with this new rule that only three teams voted against, by the way, which I think is kind of funny, Green Bay Packers, Las Vegas Raiders, and San Francisco 49ers all voted against this new XFL style kickoff that's going to be implemented this upcoming season. So now I think it would be wise if I share my screen. I have it pulled up here because people are watching on YouTube. I think you need a visual, and I'll describe it to you. I'll make sure to do it. So I'll do that really fast. And
is this with the
visual, guys? I mean, it'll just make so much, it'll just be so much better that this is on here. So hopefully everyone can see here. Now, do you see it? The NFL hybrid kickoff.
I may have to add it here. Hold on.
No problem. Yeah, I'm just thinking about it. This is gonna be a wild scenario, honestly.
So this is the alignment for a kickoff. Can you see it now?
Yeah, can you see my screen? Everything I'm showing, the NFL hybrid kickoff.
Yeah. Very
good.
Yeah.
Perfect. So now let's look at this carefully here. So if we look at the bottom chart, everybody, you have the kicker at the normal spot where he'd be kicking off from the kickoff tee, right, on the kicking side of the field, which would be, you know, the other side of the 40 where the kicking team is coming away from. Now, everybody is not lined up even with the kicker anymore. They're lined up on the opponent's side 40-yard line, which is pretty hardcore, honestly. And then you have the receiving team. They start lining up at their own 30. So they're only 10 yards away from their own back of the red zone, which is pretty hardcore. Now, you can have one returner or two returners. Up to you. That's going to be up to the coaches to decide how they want to do things. But with this, there is the landing zone, which is the most important, right? Now, if your kicker kicks out of bounds, you get the normal 40-yard line spot like a penalty or how it's always been. If your kicker kicks straight into the end zone, the receiving team automatically gets the ball at the 30-yard line, not the 25, the 30-yard line. If the kick gets bounced in that landing zone, so in that 20-yard back red zone area, you can see on the top of that, you see the landing zone. If it hits there and then bounces into the end zone, no problem. They get the ball at the 20-yard line, okay? The point of this whole thing is we have to start making people return kicks. That is what the NFL wants. So, I mean, the kickoff, everything's going to change. You're going to have people learn how to squib kick, right? A squib kick better. You're going to have to get people to sky kick really incredibly far or high up in the air, I should say. And the main key to all this is that once the ball hits the ground, it's live based on what I've been told. Once the ground is caught by the returner, then it's live and everybody can start blocking and trying to attack the ball carrier. So everyone's got to stay still until ball either hits the landing zone or the you know, punter touches it, catches it, fumbles it, whatever happens. The ball has to be in the landing zone play for everyone to start running out and attacking.
Yeah, that's, you know, who knows how teams are going to approach this. It's going to be a grand experiment. And, you know, a guy like Ethan Evans, you know, he was a real, it was nice having him, you know, he just booms the ball out of the back of the end zone every time. Can he get the ball in the air off a tee? I have no idea. Or maybe they go back to using the regular kicker instead of Ethan Evans on the kickoffs. And someone noted that, I heard this somewhere, just a blurb, I don't know if it's on the radio or where I heard this, but teams will probably, now there's going to, what it's going to do is reduce the impact, the high speed impacts, right?
Yeah, that's the point, right? And look, at NFL, hey, respect, trying to get things figured out. But at the same time, you know, let's add an extra bye week for our players. Let's maybe have a bye after Thursday Night Football. You know, let's just, if health and safety is number one, like there's some other things that could get figured out to make everyone feel a lot better than just this. Yeah. Right.
And, the comment that someone made was that teams are going to go back to putting the Tutu Atwells of the world as returners. Their fastest player with a ball in their hands with a bunch of slow moving kick coverage guys. I mean, slow moving as far as not having a big head of steam. I don't know if that's true, but do I sense that you're not a big fan of this, or are you?
No, I mean, look, it's okay. I get it because obviously no one was returning kicks. But we're just going to have to see how it flows. That's just really it, right? Right, Mark? I mean, we're going to have to see how this is implemented. How do the Rams, what are our tactics? Who are our returners? You know, how are we going to defend and attack on this kick, on these kickoffs? And we'll see. I'm kind of 50-50 on it. I'm 50-50 just because of how, you know, how short the field is, right? I mean, again, it's got to be in this little 20-yard landing zone for this to be acceptable. But again, kickers will train, they will learn this skill, and things will become normal if things go well this upcoming season. But
well, if nothing else, it's going to be really interesting.
it's going to be cool. So again, real quick, long story short, players cannot move until the ball either hits the landing zone or touches a returner or he fumbles it or whatever. Does that make sense? That's basically it. cannot get into the end zone. They start at the 30, cannot go out of bounds at the 40 like normal. And that's pretty much it. It's that simple.
We don't have to get into it, but just for everybody listening, I think the situation is if you announce that you're going to try an onside kick.
Yeah. So obviously now surprise onside kicks are just not a thing anymore, clearly based off this hybrid kickoff setup that's going to be implemented. So you have to announce that you are onside kicking. And I don't know what the specifications exactly are going to be. Are they going to let you overload like the old days where you just go like, you know, eight people on one side and two people on the other, right? Old school, where you just try to just bodies cause a pile to get the ball. Maybe they do that, but then that's like a, you know, anti-player safety thing. You know, there's no one's going to recover an onside kick ever again. I wish they would have done full XFL, which just might as well just do the 4th and 20 play, right?
Oh,
like,
geez.
Hey, instead of the onside, give us a 4th and 20. And if we convert it, that's our onside kick, like the XFL does. You know, we're pretty much already there. We're already doing this hybrid kickoff, right? Because they don't want to call it the XFL kickoff, even though that's pretty much exactly what it is. Might as well just go all the way. Because if onside kicks are going to be a non-factor, might as well just put your best players, right? The guys who you pay a gazillion dollars to decide it. I think that's fair. I would enjoy that. I think most of the teams would enjoy that. Think about that in a Super Bowl, how much the stakes would be on that. I think that'd be great.
So, that 4th and 20 thing.
I know the Eagles keep trying to put that vote in for that, and I respect to them. But
yeah, the 4th and 20 thing is, again, scares me. Probably the Rams would be a team that would benefit from that. But I guess my initial thought on that is the 4th and 20, hopefully the refs, you know, keep the flag in their pocket. You know, teams are just going to be trying to throw it up there, hoping they get a pass interference in a lot of cases anyways. So what else we got? The hip drop.
Yeah, well, another rule is the hip drop. Yeah. That's another one. Do you want to share your thoughts on that? Go ahead.
I don't really have an opinion on it. I haven't read up on it. I know I can visualize a hip drop tackle, and my concern is that it's enforced evenly across an entire schedule, every game. Are there going to be borderline hip drops? And are they going to be, you know, sometimes defenders are just put in situations where if they're going to make a tackle, that's the tackle they're going to make. I don't know. I'm torn on it.
So look, this is the description of the new rule. I have it here. Let's read it together, everybody. If the defender grabs the runner with both hands or wraps the runner with both arms and unweighs himself, which is what the hip drop, right? You're holding on and you're piggybacking almost, right, to get him down. And unweighs himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body, landing and trapping the runner's legs at or below the knee. So it's just a bunch of like, if any of those things happen, we're throwing the damn flag. Now, the NFLPA and the union were like, screw that for weeks, right? We've been hearing about that, but you know how it is. Ownership has the final say a lot of times, and they wanted that. Roger Goodell wanted it. The competition committee wanted it. So it'll be a 15-yard penalty if that happens now, and an automatic first down. Great. Another thing that we got to look out for when people are making a play on defense. Jesus.
Yeah, it's interesting that the players would be against it and owners are for it. But so you're against that one, obviously.
Well, I think there's been the hit. Let me back up here. I already know there's going to be tackles that are going to be questionable, that are probably not hip drop, and they're going to get flagged. And it's going to annoy me. It's going to happen to us. It happens to every team.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. There's going to be some killer penalty in a fourth quarter where it was a third and whatever. And then there's going to be some hip drop-like tackle. All right, that's a tongue twister right there. We're going to get screwed, and something bad's going to happen because of that, right? That's going to negatively impact us in the outcome of the game. It's going to bother me. Now, another rule that is maybe not necessarily a rule, but something that the NFL is going to implement is the use of more sky judges helping out officiating crews on the field make the correct calls. That's cool.
Yeah.
So, an example,
they get so many wrong.
Oh, God, it's a disaster sometimes, Mark. Tom Pelissero, who is one of the big reporters for NFL Network, who does a lot of good stuff, reporting, gets a lot of the good details of what's going on. He said that there will be a sky judge and they will be used to make sure they get a majority of the right calls called. Will it be a hip jaw tackle? Said, yeah, it's possible. If that is what is needed to get corrected, they will. Will it be a roughing the passer? Will it be any of these penalties that has been pissing us off, right, with terrible calls we've seen throughout the last, you know, handful of years? Those things should be able to be seen by a sky judge and get corrected to the grounds crew to make the right call. So I think that's good. We'll see how that works.
How is that initiated?
Now, the details on that, I'm not too sure exactly. I assume it is like the New York review, right, that they will be the ones to kind of look at it, which they have done for a lot of the reviews of all the other stuff. But this will be more of like, hey, that call was bad.
Well, that's good. I'd have no problem with that because there are so many cases, virtually every game, where you're like, wait, why in this day and age, a $1 billion industry and a game is being decided by a call that everybody watching on TV and probably most of the people in the stadium and all the players know that it was wrong and they're just rolling along. They're just going to, hey, we got it wrong. We'll admit after the game, we got it wrong, but we're not holding up the game. Press on. Yeah.
It's bad. So, I mean, this is a step in the right direction, right? It's not going to be for everything, but you know, for the ones where like, we can't believe it, right? Roughing the passer, this hip drop, this is bound to happen. They should have the ability to be able to correct that.
Yeah, and I wonder if they would have. I wonder if they would have been able to correct the ball placement problem with the Rams Steelers game, something like that.
Oh, I mean that too. Oh my God! I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that hopefully those things will not be occurring again. Because my God, that was terrible.
Yeah.
So another rule change that is maybe not as huge, but NFL teams are now allowed to place up to 2 players on IR before rosters go from 90 to 53 and still have those players return during the season.
Oh,
before any player placed on the IR during that time during camp would be out for the entire year. They'd be like, you're done.
Yeah.
They can come back now. That's cool.
Yeah. I didn't really see the point of that other than, you know, you think teams are going to try to hide players. But yeah, that makes sense. I mean, yeah, no problem with that.
I didn't realize that was a thing before too. Like once you canned them an IR during camp, like it was over for their whole year. And I was like, cause I know there's so many lists, you know, the PUP, there's IR, there's the non-football, there's tons of stuff.
Yeah. So if I'm not mistaken, there was a time, I could be wrong on this, maybe 10, 15 years ago where, you know, we've come a long way in this because I'm pretty sure that if you went on IR, you were done for the year. And then they changed it to, okay, you can bring 2 guys back, you know, after 7 weeks or something to that effect.
Well, yeah, I think when the COVID era started, they shortened it from like half a season basically to like a month, you know, a 4-week span, which is, you know, luckily we benefited that with Cup. We benefited that with Kyron and others. And I think the league was smart to make that change. And I think hopefully they never change it. I don't think they are because I think it's benefited so many people. But this one will hopefully benefit some team out there. Hopefully it doesn't have to be us where we get caught in a pickle like that. But the last rule that's, I think, another big one, which I think factors into how we do business a ton, is that NFL owners approved that the trade deadline can be moved to after week 9 instead of after week 8. So we get it pushed one more week forward. And look, it now with the extra game, probably another game will be added in the next 5 years. Let's just be real about it. That's probably going to happen. They're probably going to, you know, take away more preseason, just add more regular season games. You know, more fun for the fans. Players are probably going to hate it. I feel for them. Hopefully things get worked out with the union and they figure out a couple bye weeks. But that is the plan this season going forward. After week 9, no longer week 8, after week 9, the trade deadline will end. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I would expect I think the general feeling about the Rams would be if they're moving in the right direction and they're in the hunt, could very well see them make a move, you know, week 8, I guess, week 9.
Yeah. I mean, it's in our DNA. Shoot. I mean, all I saw this offseason was, we'll be aggressive. It's in our DNA, you know, all these posts and, you know, obviously the offseason so far hasn't been insane, but I mean, you know, draft picks, some cash. There's the options are there. Now we have an extra week to figure those things out if that's the case. And every year it feels like we're trying to trade for somebody. Let's just be honest. So I'm in with that. And I mean, those are the big things, rule changes that I had at the top of my head right now, Mark. The big
but
ones.
So to wrap this up, I guess the big takeaway from today is, correct me if I'm wrong, the Rams may be done as far as significant transactions prior to the draft, really, right? There's going to be some street free agents, guys that get released in June, that type of thing. But other than that.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't sign Akello till like, till training camp era, right? We were just like, this is our team. And everyone was like, oh man, we're going to be awful. Right. And then we obviously onboarded a lot of guys. There's still plenty of time. I mean, the draft is not too far away. That's going to obviously going to dictate a lot of stuff of who we sign after that post draft. And I just think everything's about the money. Everything. Right. If we can get people on vet minimums or $5 million and under, which I thought Trey White was going to be under, but hey, then I think we can keep going and going and going, right? I mean, would John Johnson be cool to come back on a vet minimum again? Probably.
Yeah.
So, I mean, cool, right? Would no longer Akello, I think that's probably over with now that, you know, Trey White got, you know, $9 million pretty much over Akello, right? So that's probably not happening now that him and Darius are the two outside guys. You know, whoever else you can think of, you know, people that are circulating around there. It just depends on the money. If the money is right, the Rams will do it always.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see. I still want Clowney, but that's probably not happening because he's going to want, you know, $15 million.
Thinking Clowney. I was thinking a trade for Reddick maybe. But
that's still possible. I mean, but it's just all about the money and the compensation for all these things. What is the currency we're giving up to spend on the player? Yeah. You know, we already dropped serious cash on O-line. Happy with that. Got no issues. And, you know, we pivoted to other things. So we'll see. But everything's on the table.
I think 5 weeks till the draft, I think. So
insane.
I know. It's good. So I'm looking forward to that. I got to decide how I'm going to treat that night. I know a lot of folks like to live stream, but I don't want to do that. I'm going to enjoy it. Maybe we'll do a real late night round table after each night of the draft, do a little 15-minute thing on our picks, something like that.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I mean, depending on what day that is, I might have to go down to Hermosa and see what's maybe do for the Rams up, go around and talk with our people and see. But, We'll see how that plays out. I mean, that's too by fast though. But it's exciting times, man. I mean, things are flying by. And who knows? I didn't think we'd sign Trey White. I thought, he left the building, it's over, but we gave him some cash and everything's still on the table for anybody you can think of. Just the money's gotta be right, everybody.
Yeah. Hey, Ian, great discussion. It's kind of nice just having the two of us and just get right to it. Right. And cover a lot of ground really fast. And thanks a lot. I'll see what's up with Paul. We may still do a Puka Powers pick segment later this week. I'll let you know about that. And if you don't join for that, we'll talk again next week.
Yeah, we'll join. We'll link before then. We'll talk. You know how we do it, man. And everybody out there, you're still tuning in. We appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in the Rams Up podcast. And if you're on your Spotify and Apple and whatever else, make sure you hit those notifications and your subscriptions for those. If you're on YouTube, please hit the like button. Please hit the subscribe button. It helps a ton with that algorithm, getting this video out to more people. We want the Ramley to hear and everyone to be together on these things. And we love hearing your comments. We always like to read them. I do as well. And please, again, subscribe, whatever you got to do, tune in and
I appreciate you and Paul saying that because I'm the one that should be saying that and I always forget. So I appreciate that. Okay, Ian, out here till next time. Have a good one.
Sir. Horns up. Hey, Rams up, baby.
All right. Bye. that's going to do it for this episode. Remember, you can reach us at ramsuppodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget about our YouTube channel. Our handle is at larramsup.com. Till next time, keep the horns up, stay safe, and have fun out there.